How's everyone doing this morning? It's good. I'm still afraid of public speaking, so just bear with me. Even though I've done like a few courses, but I'm still scared. I'm thinking, oh, it doesn't get any easier, does it, preaching? Maybe once I get to my 100th time, it might get a little easier, but that's cool. Welcome, everyone. Just come and find a seat if you want. There's some seats down here if you want to. Yeah, all right, cool. All right, sweet. Cool, well, let's pray. And Lord, I just thank you, Father God, Lord, just for everything you're doing in church in the marketplace. And I just pray that you'd give me the words to speak. Help me, Holy Spirit. And I ask that this morning your word would be heard, and that it would just help us go so much deeper in our walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. Well, I'm so blessed to be here sharing this morning. And I love being here at Church in the Marketplace. And God's just doing so much stuff, I think, in our church. There's so much stuff going on, and it's just awesome to be a part of that. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Heaven's Song. So if you got your Bible here, the first scripture I'm going to share from is Romans 12:16, and it says this: live in harmony with each other. Everyone say that. Live in harmony. Yeah. So I think, that's God's desire for us, that we would live in harmony with each other. So I'm going to invite to help us illustrate that, I'm going to invite Lucy up and Jasmine. I haven't spoken to you, Robin, but do you want to just, because you can sing, right? I can't sing. I'm terrible. So who knows what harmony is? Like in a musical sense, has anyone got musical backgrounds? I don't, just nod. Yeah, we all know what harmony is. Lucy knows what harmony is. But I guess I had no idea growing up as a kid. I didn't know what harmony was, like in a musical sense. I mean, I'd hear people sing, right? And it's like, wow, that's amazing. Like one person singing. And then you hear a group of people singing and you're just like, wow, right? Has anyone experienced that? Or is it just me? Yeah, okay, great. So to help us demonstrate, I'm going to ask Lucy here to sing just the first little chorus of What a Beautiful Name.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Okay, awesome. Doesn't that sound great? I mean, when I first heard harmony, I thought, oh, everyone's just singing the same melody, and that's what makes it awesome. But, you know, I didn't figure it out until a lot later. So that's the melody. Everyone can sing the melody, right? Easy, right? Now, do you reckon you two lovely ladies could harmonize now with Lucy?
So you're, one.
Whenever you're ready. One. No pressure.
Two.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King.
That's an interesting harmony.
Yeah, how good is that? Come on. Now, see, I think that's what God wants church to be like, right? We aren't here, like we're not, we just heard them sing an awesome harmony, and they're not actually singing the same melody. They're actually singing different notes. And that's what kind of makes up the body of Christ. We all have different maladies. And when we get it right, it's this awesome thing called harmony, right? So now we're going to do it in four-part harmony. Does anyone know what that is? I'm going to just try and sing. Yeah, cool, let's do it again. You guys ready? What's my starting note? Okay, all right, great. All right, let's do this.
What a beautiful name it is.
What a beautiful name it is. than the name of Jesus Christ, my King.
Thank you. That's really boosting my self-esteem. Come on. Sometimes this can happen in church, right? I mean, we come into the service and we think, oh, you know, church has gone really awesome. Like, how great was the music? Was really good. You guys, phenomenal job. But we can come in and, you know, Pastor Peter's just preached an awesome sermon. Like, it's gone off. Church has gone great. And we can come in and say, you know, Lucy, you were way too sharp. What's going on? Robin, you were way behind the beat. And Jasmine, you're just like a tad too flat. Why aren't you guys singing in my key? All right? I'll explain, don't worry. Just go with me, okay? But, you know, we can actually come into church thinking everything's kind of not working. You know what's wrong with church? The screens, they're not in sync with the lyrics. What's with that? No one's ever thought that, just me? Okay. What about this? Spelling mistakes on the program. You know what else is really annoying? The sermons are too long. I wish they were shorter. And what's with this? We've been singing the same song for 5 weeks. I mean, when are we going to sing a new song? And you know what's really wrong with the church? It's that youth worker. Like, oh my gosh. He's just got the most weirdest haircut. He's got ripped jeans. He didn't even shave. I know I've definitely had this attitude before. And I've walked into church many times doing exactly that. And you know what the crazy thing is? It actually took me so long to realize I was the problem. It wasn't anyone else, but me. And yeah, they just sang an awesome harmony, right? How great did their singing sound? And you know, I've just come along. I probably should have been pretty humble and just asked them, oh, you know, that's really cool. What should I sing? You know, teach me, you know, help me harmonize with you guys. But I just came in and I was like, why aren't you guys in my key, right? And I just want to do this one more time, because I think this is another thing that we can also get wrong in church too. So let's sing that.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus
Brody.
Christ, my
He's the best.
King.
Oh, okay, right. Okay, so you see, they're all singing about Jesus, right? Correct? And I've just come in, and what am I doing? I'm singing about myself. And, you know, we talk about ourselves a lot. You know, I this, I that. Oh, thank you. Thank you, singers. You can, sorry, I won't make you stay up here the whole time. Please take a seat. Great. But, yeah, in this world, like, a lot of it is about us, right? I want this, I want that. And the other day, me and Raina, we went for a little walk down to Bondi Beach. I mean, how beautiful is the beach, right? But I think I counted at least 100 selfie sticks. You know, like everyone's trying to get the perfect selfie. And if we think about it, like our Facebooks and Instagrams, it's all about us. We're like posting pictures of ourselves, like, oh, this happened for me. And I mean, yeah, it's cool. But my prayer and hope that our church here, Church in the Marketplace, my prayer is that we would be all about Jesus. That we would be all about Him and His kingdom. Because that's what it's all about. You know, we're so blessed living here in Australia. And we're in Bondi Junction, of all places. That's amazing. And it's crazy to think how many times we can show up to church and we can actually often make it about us. You ready for some news? It's not about you, but it's about Him. And, you know, we can often come in singing our own song, like I just demonstrated, right? But let's think about this, right? We all know the Lord's Prayer, yeah? If you have your Bible here, it's found in Matthew 6, 9, and I just want to focus on a few areas. It says this, Our Father in heaven. See, it's our Father. It's not my Father or you, it's our Father. And then what does it go on to say? Hallowed be your name. And then it says, Your kingdom come and your will be done. Here's what it doesn't say. My Father in heaven, my kingdom come, my will be done. It's not about anybody's kingdom, and I'm not here to build my own kingdom, by the way. I'm here to build His kingdom, because that's what it's all about. And continuing on in Matthew 6:10, it says, His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, can I ask you a question? What do you think heaven is like? I mean, often, I think, I don't know, have you guys seen many movies? I mean, because sometimes they paint a pretty interesting picture of what heaven's like. I used to think as a kid growing up that heaven was this really faraway place and there's little angels like on the clouds with their little bow and arrows shooting love arrows down from heaven. Anyone? No? Okay. Jesus is in heaven, yeah? And He's sitting on His throne. And He watches us every day. So if you have your Bibles here, I'm going to read from Revelations 5, verses 6 to 13. Just let me find it. So we're going to go from verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, wait, am I on the right one? Nope, I'm on the wrong verse. There you go. Proves I'm human. Yeah, here we go. So then I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of Him who sat on the throne. And when He had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, You were worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. That's a lot of angels. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and in a loud voice they were saying, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. That's pretty powerful, right? That's a little picture of heaven. I mean, how amazing is that, right? One, there's like a million angels up there thousands upon thousands, 10,000 times 10,000. And what are they all singing? They're singing, "Worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain." They're all singing the same song. Not one of those angels is up there saying, "Oh, I'm going to sing my own song up here." No, they're all singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." See, they're in harmony in heaven. They're singing about Jesus. So when we pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." What's happening in heaven? The angels are actually singing. They're singing and worshiping Jesus. Yeah? So let me just say this, right? So just imagine if one of those angels just flew out of heaven, just came down into our worship service. They just fly in. They're just checking it out. They're like, "Oh, I don't know about this song. It's we've been singing this song a really, really long time. I think we ought to, see what I'm saying? Worthy is the Lamb." Yeah? So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we're really saying that we actually want to be in harmony with what's happening in heaven. And for me in my life, I want to be all about Jesus. And sometimes in churches, we can so often try to change things because, you know, we want people to stay. I mean, we can create whole programs to serve people. And actually, sometimes we can actually forget the greatest commandment. And what is the greatest commandment? Yeah, it's found in Matthew 22:38, right? You see, it says, "We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind." And the second is like that, love others. But see, sometimes we have it in reverse. Sometimes we go, "Oh, I got to love. And it's a bit like this, right? It's a bit like, I have a water bottle. I can't really pour it out, but just imagination. If I keep pouring this out, what's going to happen? It's going to be empty, right? It's going to be empty. But if we love people from a place of, "Hey, I'm connected to what's going on in heaven. I'm connected, right? It's going to be an overflow. You're going to be able to love people a whole lot more. And you know what else the scriptures tell us? That God is love. So if we don't know God, then how can we love others? We need to love God first, and out of that place comes love for others. Amen? Everyone's gone quiet. I don't like it when people go quiet. It's fine. So this brings me to my next point, right? I'm sorry, it's pretty deep this morning. Is that all right if we go a little deeper? All good? Awesome. See, we all have a choice to make as well. In John 15:18-19, it says this. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. See, if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. And as it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And that is why the world hates you." That's a really encouraging scripture. No one ever preaches about that, do they? But you see, there's two songs going on. There's a song that we're singing here on earth that's all about me. I've got to live and get my dreams and just do everything. It's a me show. And then there's another song in heaven, which is, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And you know, in my day, like when I became a Christian, I had to let go of quite a lot of stuff to follow Jesus. I mean, when I was at school, I use this at youth all the time. It's called my pre-baptism days. A lot of people really didn't like me. Probably heaps of people still don't like me, but that's all right. No, but a lot of people didn't like me before I was a Christian, right? And then when I became a Christian, guess what happens? They disliked me a whole lot more. And I actually had to let go of that, and I even had to let go of some of my family. Just let me give you a little brief history of my family. I mean, I don't know if you were here when I shared my testimony, but I mean, if you've ever studied law, you've probably heard of the Teo case. Has anyone heard of that? Maybe? Yep, Paul has heard of it. But you see, my parents, they were taken to jail when I was 3 months old as a baby, right? And they were pretty much known as like the biggest drug dealers in Western Australia. And because of that, a lot of my family is actually still trapped in drugs and whatnot, right? And it's really awesome. Like, I've been praying and a few of my family members have started, like, their lives have changed. And my sister's a great example. Her whole life has been done a 360 degrees turn. She's just finished Teen Challenge, which is awesome. And she's on fire for God. But, you know, it was really offensive for me to be a Christian in my family. Like, they didn't understand. They were like, why are you following Jesus? Like, it's just, you're just in a phase, right? Oh, well, here I am, like, I don't know how many years later. A lot of, like, I was a Christian at 14, I'm now 27, and I'm still following God. But see, you have to let go of stuff. And for some people, that means letting go of some family. Like, because if I was just like, okay, I'm just going to really cling to family, then I'd probably be doing drugs and all this bad stuff right now, and I wouldn't be where I am today. Okay? So, and continuing on, it's getting deep, sorry. But James 4:4 says this, that anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. See, sometimes we're like, well, why can't we belong to both worlds? We just want to have it all. But, you know, we need to choose what song we're going to sing. See, Jesus is so worthy of everything that we have. He wants every part of us. He doesn't want to just be Savior. He wants to be Lord. And Jesus has every right to tell me what's sinful in my life. And you know what I need to do? I need to repent. And I need to turn away from those things. And are we in harmony with what's going on in heaven, or are we just doing our own thing, singing our own song? Because Colossians 3:2, Paul writes this, right? He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. And I'm not trying to say, you know, like, that we have to be rude and absolute muppets to be like, not one with the world. But what I am saying is, who sits on the throne? I definitely don't sit on the throne, but Jesus sits on the throne. And that's so offensive to so many people because they want to be in charge. It's all about me and my dreams. But Jesus sits on the throne, and he has every right to tell us how we need to live our life. He was slain for me. He was slain for you. And he is love. He rose from the dead, and he's coming back again. And it's really awesome because we're going to be with him forever. So I'm trying to set my mind on heavenly things, amen. And I'm just trying to encourage us all to do that. And I just want to share this story, right? So all of you know that we used to drive out here before we moved here from North Rocks. If you don't know where that is, it's kind of right next to Parramatta. So the thing is, we'd often drive home. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but sometimes I'd be driving in the left lane, you know, just cruising the speed limit, trying to get home. And then I'd start to see someone up ahead in the right-hand lane. And they have their little indicator on. They're indicating to change lanes. So then I'm like, oh, okay. I'll just, I'm usually a good driver when I'm not in a rush. So then I just back off. Oh, yeah, I'm going to let this person kind of change lanes. And I'm waiting, still waiting. And they don't change lanes. They've just left their indicator on. So then I'm just like, oh, stuff this. And you just drive past them. But you see, that's kind of like, whoop, I just dropped something. That's kind of like what we can do sometimes in life. We can have all this great talk about, I'm going to change this, I'm going to change that, I'm going to come to church this week and I'm going to change. But do you know what? We can actually come to church and then on Monday we can go to work and probably be worse off than like when we came in. And we can actually, go to work on Monday and, I don't know, you might say a swear word or something. I'm serious. Like, but the thing is, you're saying, oh, I'm going to change, right? And all you've done is actually just left your indicator on or your blinker. You know, we do that in life a lot, I think, and it all becomes a bunch of talk, right? So my challenge is to us this morning that we would not just leave the indicator on, right? We'd actually change lanes. And that means we're aligning ourselves with heaven's song, which is all about Jesus and his kingdom. And that's what I'm talking about. Don't just leave your indicator on. Actually turn the wheel and change lanes. But don't kill anyone on the road. Do it when it's safe. I want to read out of the book of Acts. Well, let's just think about this, right? When Peter preached his first sermon, there was thousands of people who heard it. And it's found in Acts 2:36-38, if you want to look it up later. But it says this, that the people who heard the message, they were cut to the heart, and they asked what they need to do to follow Jesus. And it's really simple. He says this, you've got to repent, be baptized, and then you will receive the Holy Spirit. So who knows what repent means? It means this, right? It just means to turn away. Like you've been living one way, and now you're going to repent. It means you're going to turn, and you're going to go another way. And it's not just turn your indicator on. It's not just say, oh, I'm going to turn and put the indicator on. No, it's turn. It's change lanes, right? It's change lanes. Don't just say you're going to turn. Just turn. Just do it. And we've got baptisms coming up, which is so powerful. Because when we think about the imagery of baptism, when you go into the water, what are you saying? You're saying you're done living for yourself. You're done singing your own song. Your old self is buried and left behind. And when you rise out of the water, it becomes all about Jesus and singing his song. You see, we need to repent first. I mean, and sometimes we can try to do stuff in our own strength. But it says it right there in the book of Acts that if we repent and be baptized, it's then we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not us trying to change ourselves and then get baptized, because then we're doing it in our own strength. It says, repent and humble yourself before the Lord. Change lanes and allow the Holy Spirit to help you. The Holy Spirit enables you to change, not yourself. So that's my challenge to us here this morning, that we would sing heaven's song, worthy is the Lamb that was slain, and he loves us so much, and he is so worthy. And you know, I don't know where you're at this morning. I mean, but if you are here this morning and you know that you want to repent and you know that you want to turn, I'd actually like to just invite you to come up out of your seat down the front, and we're actually going to just, I'm going to repent myself, and we're just going to repent together, because I'm one of those people. I need to repent and I need to turn and I need to just come to God constantly. So if that's you this morning, I'd like to just challenge you. Just come up out of your seat. Just come down. I'm going to be down here. I'm just going to have the band come up. They're going to play What a Beautiful Name.